शिवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायामुधीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमा श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः नमो पंकजनाभाय नमो पंकजमालिने नमो पंकजनेत्राय नमस्ते पंकजांग्रे। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 16 टेक्स्ट नंबर 2। उच्चावचेषु भूतेषु दुर्गेयम् अकृतात्मभिः उपासते त्वां भगवन् यता तत्येन ब्राह्मणा। उच्चावचेषु भूतेषु दुर्गेयम् अकृतात्मभिः उपासते त्वां भगवन् यता तत्येन ब्राह्मणा। उच्चावचेषु भूतेषु दुर्गेयम् अकृतात्मभिः उपासते त्वां भगवन् यता तत्येन ब्राह्मणा। Matajis, word to word synonyms. Uccha in the superior, avacheshu and the inferior, bhuteshu created objects and entities, durgyeyam hard to understand, akritatmavi by the impious, upasate they worship, Tvam, you, Bhagavan, my dear Lord, Yatatatyena, in truth, Brahmanaha, those dedicated to the Vedic conclusion. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, Shilesi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. My dear Lord, although it is difficult for the impious to understand that you are situated in all superior and inferior creations, those Brahmanas who are actual knowers of the Vedic conclusion worship you in truth. Purport. The behavior of saintly persons is also to be taken as evidence, and therefore it is here stated that although ignorant, impious persons are bewildered before the Lord's all-pervading feature, those with purified, clear consciousness worship the Lord as He is. In this chapter, Sri Uddhava inquires about the Lord's opulences and hear the words Uccha Vacheshu Bhuteshu within superior and inferior creations clearly refer to the Lord's external opulences, those manifested in the material world. The saintly Brahmanas or Vaishnavas worship Lord Krishna within all things and yet recognize the variety in the Lord's creation. For example, in worshipping the deity, the devotees will select the nicest flowers, fruits and ornaments for decorating the transcendental form of the Lord. Similarly, although the Lord is present in the heart of every conditioned soul, the devotee will give more attention to a conditioned soul interested in the message of Lord Krishna. Although the Lord is everywhere, the devotees make distinctions for the sake of the Lord's service between His presence in superior Uccha and inferior Avacheshu creations. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Nama Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yatkripatamaham Vande Shri Guru Dinatarinam Paramananda Madhavam Sri Chaitanyam Ishwaram Namaom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pachatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shrivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So we are reading Uddhava's prayers. So in this chapter, we are reading the Lord's opulences. Actually, there are three themes here. One is the chapter focuses on Krishna's opulences. And the verse yesterday, today and the next few verses are speaking about Uddhava's prayers to the Lord. And especially the praise element within the prayer. And then in the purport today we are reading about this phrase, beautiful, Uccha Vacheshu Bhuteshu, means within superior and inferior creations, where the emphasis is on recognizing Krishna in the variety of this creation, both superior and inferior. So basically, three things: opulences of Krishna, which we will not discuss today so much because this is the theme of the chapter. But the first few verses which we are taking now, and second verse today which we are reading, talks about prayers. And within prayers, the emphasis is on praising the Lord, as we can see the translation. My dear Lord, although it is difficult for the impious to understand that you are situated in all superior and inferior creations, those Brahmanas who are actual knowers of the Vedic conclusion worship you in truth. And then we'll also study the purport, where the emphasis is on recognizing Krishna in the variety of this creation. So first, about prayer. If you see the Bhagavatam, all the prayers in the Srimad Bhagavatam, they contain at least one of the four elements of a prayer. Generally, when we pray to the Lord, what do? Most of the time, we ask, I want this, I want this. Amari mange puri karo. So we have a lot of desires. And when we come in front of Krishna, we ask Krishna to fulfill those desires. That's not bad. At least we are going to the right person. Akama sarva kamova moksha kama udaradi tivrena bhakti yogena ajeta purushaparam. But the great exalted personalities, when they pray to the Lord, they practice the other three things which are part of prayer. One is praise, praising the Lord, glorifying the Lord. Just like, you know, if I appreciate you genuinely, not flattery, when I really appreciate you for who you are, for what you do, you will feel good, right? You will feel encouraged, you will feel nice. And Krishna is a person full of wonderful emotions, feelings. So when a devotee genuinely glorifies Krishna, Krishna also becomes happy. And when Krishna becomes happy, we become happy. So devotees who have this practice of glorifying Krishna, praising Him, they feel very fulfilled. They don't even feel the need to go to the fourth element of prayer. What is the fourth element? Request, asking the Lord. What is the first? Praising the Lord. There are devotees who also beg forgiveness from Krishna when they come in front of Krishna. Krishna, please forgive me, I could not recognize you. And you will find this forgiveness, seeking forgiveness element in Brahma's prayers, Indra's prayers. So like that. Forgiveness is also a common theme. And also gratitude. Thank you, Krishna, for this. Thank you for this. Not, you know, sometimes we say, thank you, Krishna, for everything. That everything is very vague. What is that everything? Like Kunti Maharani, when she is praying to Krishna, she just doesn't say, Krishna, thank you for everything. She says, Vishan Mahagne Purushada Darshanad Asat Sabhaya Vanavasa Krishrita Mrde Mrde Neka Maharatastrato Dronastratascha Hare Birakshita. She starts specifying, Krishna, thank you for saving Bhima from the poisoned cake. Thank you for protecting Draupadi in the vicious assembly of the Kurus. Thank you for protecting us from the Bakasura demon. Thank you for protecting us during the Mahabharata war. Thank you for this. Thank you for this. So many times we think gratitude is an abstract concept. No. We can make it very specific by thanking Krishna for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And enter and invest our emotions into that thank you. So a devotee who approaches Krishna with a sincere gratitude, seeking forgiveness and glorifying Krishna, automatically the fourth, you know, that asking for material things will go down. So it's important that we add this element of gratitude, forgiveness and praise. And today we are seeing especially Uddhava is praising the Lord. If you see Kunti's prayers also, she begins by praising. Namaste Purusham Tvadhyam. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Most of the prayers contain this. And ultimately, what are these prayers? Prayers are basically a bridge between, you know, the material and the spiritual. We are right now in material consciousness, right? And we want to have a spiritual consciousness. We want to remember Krishna. And the bridge that takes us from material to spiritual is the practice of prayer. Vandanam. Also it is a bridge from living in the external world and entering an internal journey. So prayers, of course, sometimes when we pray, we may think that my prayers are not being answered. Whether our prayers are answered or not answered, one thing is certain. When we have a culture of prayers, we come closer to Krishna. And when we come closer to Krishna, then, you know, we may go to Krishna with some problems. Although our problems may not be solved immediately, but because we are approaching Krishna with a sincere prayer, and we are getting attached to Krishna, the ultimate problem is solved. So therefore, a culture of prayer is extremely important. It makes the heart soft. And those who have a culture of prayer, they become broad-minded and they can recognize Krishna even outside our tiny lives. You know, we can recognize Krishna, uccha vacheshu bhuteshu, that is the theme of today's verse, that we can recognize Krishna in the creation, everywhere. Now, we need to ask ourselves, sometimes, you know, we become so narrow that we restrict Krishna only to our practices and our lifestyle. And anything that is foreign to our conception of Krishna consciousness, we immediately think there is no Krishna there. Is Krishna only in our beadbag? Is Krishna not outside of that? Sometimes people have deep experiences which helps them connect to the Brahman aspect of Krishna, the impersonal aspect. And that is spiritual. That is not material. So some people, when they have a deep experience in life, that deep experience is an experience of Krishna. And our failure to recognize that, acknowledge that, and stay confined to our narrow conceptions is a very poor reflection about our devotional status. And we generally live in two extremes. Some people, for them spirituality means God is in the spiritual world, we have to go back to Godhead. That is the only reality. God is transcendent, beyond this world. That is the only reality, spiritual world. Everything else is bogus. For some, God's conception is immanent. God is everywhere. In nature, in mountains, in trees, everywhere they say, we see God. God is in my sex life, God is in my drinking. Everywhere they say, God is there. So generally, these are two extremes. Those who have a conception of God as transcendent, for them, 90% of what they are doing then is useless, because we are living in this world. So if God is not in this world, then our lives are meaningless. And for those who see God only here, they cannot understand deeper and higher aspects. In fact, they may ride the chariot of their own mind. Manorathena satidhavato bahi. So we need balance. We need to see, we need to understand Krishna as a person. We need to approach Krishna as a person. And at the same time, we also need to appreciate Krishna in his wonderful aspects. Like I'll give an example. Srila Prabhupada was in Paris on a morning walk, and devotees were going with him, and Hari Vilas Prabhu was saying this pastime that he was feeling extremely choked up in that traffic and that crowd, and he was feeling, what are we doing in Paris here? Oh, this is so horrible. And as they were walking, suddenly Srila Prabhupada stopped. He put his cane firmly on the ground, he inhaled fresh morning air, and he said, ah, this is Vrindavan. Were they in Vrindavan? Where were they? Paris. But Srila Prabhupada immediately remembered and connected to Vrindavan. Once in Los Angeles, Srila Prabhupada was sitting on the grass and it was a little cold. So a devotee bought an asana for Prabhupada to sit, a chadar. Prabhupada said, no, I'm sitting on Krishna's lap. So he could connect to Krishna even in nature. So, I think in the Bhaktivedanta manner, when Srila Prabhupada was sitting in the garden, breeze blew and it became a little cold, and a devotee bought a shawl, and immediately Srila Prabhupada said, no, no, I am feeling Krishna's embrace. So this is the way a pure devotee is also seeing Krishna in various aspects of this world. But at the same time, Prabhupada had a personal relationship with Krishna. Bhakti Yoga teaches us to approach Krishna as a person. Bhakti Yoga encourages us to experience Krishna in our lives, not simply have a theoretical understanding of Krishna. So when we are offering our services, we are offering to a person, Krishna. At the same time, we learn to see the magnificence of Krishna in his creation. And that is Bhagavad Gita, 7th chapter, 10th chapter, 11th chapter, teaches us how we can see Krishna. Both are important, therefore. Otherwise, what will happen? Otherwise, we'll become fanatics, like the jihadists. Only my understanding of Krishna is right. And that way, we become irrelevant. We cannot connect to new people. We cannot get people to Krishna. We take people away from Krishna. That's why when Satswarup Maharaj was a young seeker and he was coming to Srila Prabhupada's programs in New York, he was Steve Guarino, he was working for the welfare office, he was a writer, and he was reading a lot of books, a lot of philosophy. So when he met Srila Prabhupada, he was attached to a few other books that he was reading. So he asked Srila Prabhupada, that Swamiji, are they not God conscious? I mean, are they completely in Maya? Are they not God conscious? And the answer that Prabhupada gave him endeared him so much to Srila Prabhupada that he then took up to Krishna consciousness with complete seriousness. That one line that Srila Prabhupada told him. When he asked Srila Prabhupada if they were all completely in Maya and they were not God conscious, Srila Prabhupada said, anybody knows what Srila Prabhupada said? Prabhupada said, their sincerity is their Krishna consciousness. So that sincerity is the element which is needed. So let us take our bhakti to the next level, where we rise beyond our narrow conceptions and we are able to appreciate Krishna in creation, in the various aspects, in the most wonderful thing that we see in this nature. Like one of our main acharyas in prayers is Akrura, right? We are told that we should pray to Krishna like Akrura. Right? Where is this? Who says this? Rupa Goswami says. There are 9 processes of devotional service. And these 9 processes, there are different acharyas, different stalwart personalities who are best in each of this. For Shravanam, who is the example? Kirtanam, Shukdev Goswami. For Shravanam, it is Parikshit Maharaj. And Smaranam, Prahlad Maharaj. For deity worship, Archanam, Prithu Maharaj. For Dasyam, servant Anumanji. Sakyam, Arjun. For Atmanivedanam, Bali Maharaj. And for Vandanam, for prayers, it is Akrura. Akrura is considered as the best. Like when we were young boys, we were told in cricket, best batsman, Tendulkar. Best bowler, Muralidharan. Best wicketkeeper, Kirmani. Like that. For everything there is a best, ideal standard, gold standard. So the gold standard for prayers is Akrura. And if you carefully study his prayers in the 10th canto, you will see this balance of approaching Krishna as a person and also understanding and recognizing Krishna in this wonderful creation. Like in his prayers he says, Krishna, you are the supreme personality of Godhead, you are the cause of all causes. You know, from your lotus navel, a lotus flower sprouts from where Brahmaji appears and he creates the whole universe. And you are the cause of Brahma himself. And you are existing, you are living as a super soul, you are present as a super soul in an ant and in all human beings as well. And all the 33 crore devatas, they come from you, Krishna. And everybody is influenced by the 3 modes, but you are not influenced. And then Akrura starts explaining how different people approach Krishna. He says, Krishna, some people come to you directly. They are saintly people. Makanlal sir, can you increase the volume? Can you increase the volume? Hare Krishna. So he says that some saintly people, they approach you directly. But not everybody approaches you directly, my dear Lord. Some worship you, but through their rituals. Nanakura says, my dear Lord, some devotees, they study scriptures and through scriptures they come to you. Some worship you through deity form. Like that. And then he says that there are some devotees who indirectly worship you by worshipping the devatas.
Of course, he clarifies, but my dear Lord, I want to directly worship you. He gives an example. He says, just like sometimes there is heavy rain on the mountains, and this rain falls down from the mountain, and it goes to the ocean, but not all of that water goes to the ocean. So he says, if you indirectly worship you, it may or may not reach you, but they are nevertheless approaching you. But I want to approach you directly. And then he says, I am like a foolish animal which is giving up lush green grass and water reservoir and rushing to a desert, and I am suffering, my dear Lord. But then Akrura is also encouraging us to see Krishna in nature. He says, when I see the fire element, I can see it is your mouth. Earth is your feet. Sun, if you want to see Krishna's eyes, when you see the sun, you can see this is Krishna's eyes. And he says, the sky is your navel, the directions are your ears, space is your head, all the devatas are your arms, the oceans are your abdomen, winds are your strength. The plants and trees on this planet are the hairs on your body, and the clouds are the hair on your head. The mountains are your bones, the day and night are your eyelids. And the Prajapatis is your genitals, and the rain is your semen. So like this, through nature, Akrura is teaching us how to recognize Krishna. And he gives an example. He says, Krishna, you are like an ocean, and just like an ocean has lot of living entities, all of us are within you. And he also gives a very interesting example of an Udumbara fruit. He says, an Udumbara fruit has lot of insects and lot of things within that fruit. He says, we are all like that, insects and so many things within the Udumbara fruit, which is like you. So like this, he harmonizes. Our greatest acharya for prayer teaches us to harmonize and recognize Krishna as a person, give our lives to him, and at the same time, recognize him in other aspects also, beyond our practices, strict practices. Like I had this experience. I met during my travels, I met one devotee from Lithuania in one ISKCON temple. And this is a nice story, you know, it had a turning point in my own life, because this boy, this young boy, maybe 20, 21, and he had so much energy. And I knew he loves Krishna, the way he speaks, the way he, you know, carries himself. He has so much love in his heart, so much sweetness and attraction for Krishna. But he was a little unconventional. We were walking and it was cold and the gate was closed. And I wanted somebody to go on the other side and get the key. But how could we cross the gate? Because the gate was big. So he ran. He put his left hand, he jumped. He put his left hand on the top of the gate and he jumped. It was like a straight out of some movie. He had so much talent. And when I saw him jump, I said, wow, you are so talented. And then he came to me, close to me, and he whispered in my ear. He said, Prabhu, I want to do so many things. I said, what's stopping you? He said, that's Maya. That's why I'm not doing. I said, what do you mean? He said, Prabhu, I want to play basketball. I have a lot of talent for basketball. And I know I can do it. I can do real good in basketball. But you know, I am attracted to Krishna. And when devotees I met, they told me everything is Maya, only Krishna. So I have joined the temple, but I'm happy because there is Krishna. But I want to play basketball. I want to explore my talent. So what do you say, Prabhuji? What is your advice? Now he put me in a quandary, you know, what do I tell him? So I told him, Prabhu, see, I'm representing, you know, Brahmachari Ashram, Saffron. I will only tell you officially, just chant Hare Krishna, more Hare Krishna and more Krishna. But I trust you, you know, I know you love Krishna. And if you explore your talent, I have full confidence that there is Krishna there. Because you will find fulfillment. And it Varnashram system is made in such a way that everybody is engaged according to their propensity. So as we were talking, I basically encouraged him to pursue his basketball career. Although I was feeling a little bad about it. Ki maybe I am not loyal to my parampara. What am I doing? I was struggling with my own thoughts because I was new to preaching outside. But I felt happy encouraging him, and I could see the joy in his face. But I told him, why don't you consult Gaur Gopal Prabhu? Because I was traveling with Gaur Gopal Prabhu. And I know that, you know, both of us, we also echo each other's thoughts, and we have similar kind of understanding. For this, Prabhu went to Gaur Gopal Prabhu, and after 2 days he came to me and he said, Prabhu, he spoke exactly like you. So I felt vindicated. And then next time when I went to that city, he was not there. He had left the ashram apparently. And then I got a long message from him. And he doesn't call me. Sometimes he writes to me as Vraj Bihari Prabhu. Sometimes he writes to me as Vraj Bihari Das. Sometimes as Vraj. You know. But I know in his every word, every message he sends me, he loves Krishna. But he may not be a conventional devotee as we see him. And what happened in his basketball pursuits, you know, just like in India, we have this IPL league where these cricket teams play and the one team wins the IPL championship. So he pursued his basketball with such sincerity and he would send me all photographs with his teammates, you know, different things. And every time he would talk about how Krishna is wonderful. And his team went on to win that IPL kind of league basketball championship in Europe. And now is a serious contender to be in the Olympic team, which is a big deal. And he's only thanking devotees and Krishna for all of this. So now, I have a challenge to see Krishna there or to say that, oh, he is in Maya. Now I would prefer to see Krishna there in his activity. Like this time in the World Cup soccer, I saw that a few devotees were having a hush-hush talk, you know. I thought, what is happening? I found out that one of the main Croatian midfielders who was in the World Cup finals, you know, more than 1 billion people are watching this World Cup soccer finals. One of the main midfielders is a Pakka Hare Krishna devotee. And the devotees who know him don't want to talk about it because they're afraid that we may denounce it as Maya and discourage him, or we may become opportunistic and fry him out by using him as an ambassador for Krishna consciousness against his comfort. So because of all this, I could see devotees were, they were showing me the messages also that he sent. Please pray for me, I have an important football match tomorrow. Important, that's the most important. So can we see Krishna there? Can we see Krishna in his sincerity? It's a challenge, but many times we become sankuchita, our devotional service is, you know, narrowed down because we can't see devotees doing things which helps them discover their self, which helps them unleash their potential. Because my bhakti many times is fear induced. There is some sense of insecurity because of which I'm unable to trust other devotees. And I become a self-proclaimed conscience keeper of our movement, of our society. I sit on a high pedestal and declare, he is in Maya, this is wrong, this is deviation. So this is unfortunate. But if you read Bhagavad Gita, we will see that Krishna can be appreciated through most wonderful diversity in his creation. Like 7th chapter. Now this is interesting. 7th chapter to 12th chapter is Bhakti Yoga. First 6 chapters focuses on Karma Yoga. 13 to 18 focuses on Jnana Yoga. 7 to 12 is the essence, bhakti. Just like in a burger, there is bread on top and bread below and inside is the main, right, or the vada pav. Vada pav has vada in the middle. So, similarly, Bhagavad Gita, the first 6 chapters are like the first top layer of the vada pav. And the last 6 chapters are the last layer. But the essence, the main vada, where is it? 7 to 12. Bhakti Yoga. But if you see in this section of Bhakti Yoga, chapter 7, chapter 10, chapter 11, there is so much explanation about Krishna in creation. And the 7.7 is one of the most wonderful verses where Krishna says, he gives two, first line he says, I am the greatest. He speaks about his majestic aspect of his personality. And the second line he speaks about the sweetness aspect. First he says, Mattaha parataram nanyat kinchidasti dananjaya. Arjuna, there is nothing greater than me. I am the greatest. I am the highest. And look at the second line. It's very intimate. What is it? Mai sarvam idam protam sutre mani ganaiva. All living entities are connected to me like pearls are strung by a thread. So when you see a garland, like, you know, you can't see the thread. Right? But it is joined by a thread. And if you see a beautiful pearl diamond necklace, there is a thread that is binding all the pearls. But you can't see that. In fact, if you see the thread, then it is considered not to be a good garland or a good necklace. Similarly, Krishna is telling that all of us are like, who are we? We are like pearls. He is not saying we are all kachara. He could have said we are all pure pieces of dirt, and that is what we actually are. We are insignificant. But Krishna is not deriding us. Krishna gives us the status of a beautiful pearl. And he says he is that common factor. So that means all of us have a connection with Krishna. We are valuable. We have an intimate relationship with Krishna. Krishna, it is the same Krishna who runs through all of us, who is there. And we all have a personal, unique relationship with Krishna. So he is generous. He doesn't say we are pieces of dirt. No one is thrown away. No one is like rejected by Krishna. All are in him. All are in that necklace. Means we all have Krishna's love. So how can we pounce on a devotee or declare him to be a deviant? How can we not trust him? We can't see the thread. In that similarly, material world, most people can't see Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada writes in one purport. In fact, in many lectures, Srila Prabhupada says this. To recognize Krishna, you need a little bit of brain substance. Prabhupada's classic statement. You need a little bit of brain substance. In fact, this is 7.7. If you see the next verse, 7.8 is very beautiful. Krishna says, Rasoam apshu kaunteya prabhashmi shashi suryayo pranava sarva vedeshu shabdake paurusham rushu. He is saying, how I am the taste of water and the light of the sun. So that purport, I request all of you to read that purport. It's such a hope-giving purport by Srila Prabhupada, where he says, impersonalist and personalist, what is the difference? Very beautiful purport. He says, impersonalist, when they take water, they perceive Krishna's presence in that taste. Whereas the personalist, they thank Krishna for that taste of water. And then Srila Prabhupada writes a classic sentence. He says, practically speaking, there is no difference between impersonalism and personalism. And then he gives the example of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who established Achintya Bheda Bheda. And then the last line Prabhupada says, one who knows God knows both aspects. And therefore there is no contradiction. But when I insist that Krishna is present only in the deity, or Krishna is present only in an activity that I consider as most important, then there is a good chance or a bad chance that I could become a Kanishta. Like I remember one experience I had, I felt very guilty because, you know, at one point of time I was reading some books and I was really finding a lot of inspiration and strength. At the same time, you know, I was also reading Srila Prabhupada books. You know, I give Bhagavatam classes, I study Bhagavad Gita, I was teaching Bhakti Shastri courses. But I also had a strong need to study and read some quote and unquote non-devotional literature. And one book I came across was called Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis, who is a close friend of J.R. Tolkien, who wrote Lord of the Rings. And this book is an interesting book where in hell, there is a director of hell, Satan's director, one agent, and he has a secretary called Screwtape. So the whole book is about letters that he writes to Screwtape about one man who is becoming a devotee, a Christian, who is going to the church, how to stop him from becoming a Christian. So what are the different techniques you should try? So one letter is all about, okay, praise him, give him a lot of praise so that he becomes proud. And second letter talks about how let him become familiar with the members of the church so that he becomes proud, and then there is quarrel and hypocrisy. So like that, it's about how to drag a person away from God. But it's written in such a beautiful style. So anyway, so I was reading that book and then I thought, but it's not Prabhupada's book. Am I being disloyal to Srila Prabhupada? And I was getting a little bewildered sometimes. And I would ask devotees, and most devotees would give official conventional answers, you know, should read only Prabhupada books. Everything is in Prabhupada books. I said, yes, everything, you know, for my shelter is there in Prabhupada's books. But what do I do? Can I see Krishna in this activity? And nobody would say yes nor no. And then I happened to hear, ISKCON Desiretri, you know, ISKCON Desiretri is like an ocean, you can get lost there. So many lectures of so many devotees. So Urmila Mataji's class, I was hearing, And she is such a hardcore Prabhupada loyalist. You can never doubt her dedication to Srila Prabhupada. And she was giving a seminar, and in the class she said, and one of the books that have really inspired me is C.S. Lewis's Screwtape Letters. And I felt so happy when I heard it, you know, I suddenly felt a shelter in that, I felt reassured. And then she spoke about some other books that she likes, and then she mentioned many ISKCON sannyasis names and some of her god brothers and god sisters who also like this book. And then she said, I know I will be chastised for this, but I insist that if you have a taste for reading, if you have this, then you should read life enhancing books. But you should always read Prabhupada books first and foremost. You should deeply absorb in Prabhupada books at the same time. It is not wrong. And when she said that, I felt so pardoned. I felt so accepted. And then I also understood that how we hover on two extremes. You know, sometimes we say, everything is in Prabhupada books. And we become, and it's not that Prabhupada's books don't contain everything. That's not the point. The point is we become blind to seeing Krishna in other aspects of creation. And on the other hand, we go to the other extreme sometimes, saying that, oh, we have to have practical classes. And we dismiss Srila Prabhupada's words of wisdom and shelter, which really is our actual shelter. Actually, Srila Prabhupada's books are the most practical glorification of Krishna. Sometimes devotees find Prabhupada's purports repetitive. But if we carefully read, we will not only find shelter beyond this world, but we will also realize that Srila Prabhupada said his purports are his devotional ecstasies. In fact, when he went to America, people asked him, are you going to America? In fact, Prabhupada's that Sumati Muraji's secretary, Chokshi, used to make fun of Srila Prabhupada. Oh, Swamiji, you are old man. You know, old man, before you die, you want to see America. That's why you are going to America. And Prabhupada used to also laugh with him. But Srila Prabhupada was very clear. I am not going to America. Srimad Bhagavatam is going to America. But because a person has to accompany the Bhagavatam, I am accompanying the Bhagavatam. And Srila Prabhupada said, Srimad Bhagavatam will bring about a revolution in the human society. At the same time, we need to trust those devotees who want to write, preach, present Krishna consciousness in a way which will help people come closer to Krishna. Rather than practice fear-induced bhakti, rather than have a healthy fear of Maya, sometimes we have an obsessive fear of Maya, which is not conducive for our devotional service. You know, Srila Prabhupada's books is basically Krishna Katha. It's transcendental sound. And when we connect to that sound, like for example, Kirtan festival, yesterday when Gaurvani Prabhu was doing Kirtan and Purushottam Prabhu was singing, you know, the sound is the basis of our movement, spiritual sound. And when we are connected to the transcendental sound, our Vijnanamaya Kosha, or the wisdom body, what the modern people call, or the conscience, it's awakened. Connection to scriptures is a way to educate our conscience. Even if it doesn't make material logical sense, we just have to connect to the sound. Therefore, there is no question about it. There is no question that Srila Prabhupada's books are our shelter. Like I remember, Gaurang Prabhu used to give Wednesday Bhagavatam classes here, evening. And the hall would be packed. It went on for almost 3 years, every Wednesday, 98, 1999, 2000, 2001. 4 years he did that. And I remember, that time we didn't have computers in our temple. We had only one computer that would also most of the time not be working, and then I had to go out, take a printout, and we had floppy disks where we would get this notes, and I would take a Xerox copy of those notes and I would distribute. And when I would come, I would see one man at Shambhunath Panwala close by here, and he would take a cigarette and he would keep smoking, and he would come to the gate of the temple, and after the last puff he would throw the cigarette and then enter the temple premises. So I thought I should preach to him, and I went close to him, trying to preach to him that he should give up cigarettes. But when I went close to him, I smelt liquor and I knew that he was drunk. But I didn't say anything. I thought it may not be the right thing to do. But I observed every Wednesday was there in the class and hearing the class, and he would go. And a few years ago, I saw he had tilak, and slowly I saw that he is following a devotional lifestyle, and he eventually got initiation. And one day I told him, Prabhu, please forgive me, but I had offended you. I would see you in the initial days, and this is my memory of you. And then he held my hand and he said, Prabhu, I want to share something. He said, every Wednesday I came for the classes, and one day Gaurang Prabhu was speaking some class, some Krishna Lila from Dwarka, some pastime. It was not connected at all to his smoking and drinking, but some katha he was doing, and suddenly this man, he says that he heard a voice in his heart which said, "You nonsense, can't you give up your cigarette and liquor?" And he said that voice was so loud, and I knew it is not from my mind, it is from a deeper sense of awareness. See, we all know certain things, but there is a deeper sense of awareness which is beyond our knowing. Sometimes you really know, this is wrong, this is right, I should be not doing this. That is the conscience. So when we are connected to spiritual sound, we hear that voice more often, more regularly. There are so many examples of this. The culture of hearing Bhagavatam, the culture of studying Srila Prabhupada's books is, it purifies our intelligence. We hear that voice which is beyond the noise of our head. That's why in the Bhagavatam it is explained, Ityadi Rajena Nutasa Vishwadrit Tamaha Rajan Mai Bhakti Rastute Dishte Drishidir Maite Kritayaya Maya Madhiyam Taratisma Dushtajam. That when we connect to Krishna and we practice devotional service, that's when Dishte Drishidir, that's when our intelligence gets purified. Otherwise, our intelligence is our enemy, because intelligence is a servant of the mind. You know, when we hear intelligence should be strong, intelligence should be strong, all that refers to spiritual intelligence. It doesn't refer to our materially contaminated intelligence. So scriptures are encouraging us, pure devotees are encouraging us to connect to Krishna. And that superior intelligence purifies and helps us come closer to Krishna. At the same time, as we are practicing devotional service, we need to appreciate devotees who are going out, stretching themselves and getting more people in the circle of Krishna consciousness. Like I remember, I was really chastised for one article I wrote, where, you know, one of our devotees met Ananda Neelkantan, who is writing a lot of Mayavad stuff and a lot of anti-Krishna stuff. So some of our devotees decided to meet him and kind of, you know, understand how he is writing all this. So they went to his house, and so this devotee went to his house, and he was so impressed. Because this man, although he is writing against Krishna in one sense, he is writing Mayavad stuff. He gets up at 3 in the morning. He does his own puja and his own meditation and spiritual stuff. And is a teetotaler, is a pure vegetarian, doesn't have any bad habits. So this devotee discussed with him, they discussed for almost 3-4 hours. And then this devotee came back inspired. In fact, the devotee told him that, "Mr. Neelkantan, I am very impressed by you. I am also not going to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning," because this man said, "As soon as I get up, I write 3 hours in the morning." So he said, "I am so impressed and inspired by you. I will also get up in the morning like you. And I will also write 3 hours, but I will write everything to defeat you." You know? But they had such a cordial exchange. They had such a nice interaction. So I wrote about this interaction in one of the articles for my website, about how we will love the person, but fight his philosophy, because we are from a different school. You know, we have our own understanding, and we would see, this is a cultural, this is the most amazing cultural aspect of India. There are so many philosophies, but we are all culturally united. So I wrote that in a hope that, you know, I wanted to be kind of having an embracing spirit, but I got a backlash, heavy backlash. So that's what happens many times. We feel that we should not even associate, we should not even take anything good from them. But if you see Srila Prabhupada, he was not like that. Like, there is one conversation of Srila Prabhupada with one British lord I was hearing on the Vedabase, in the Prabhupada's lectures on my iPod. Srila Prabhupada is talking to this British lord, and it is a 1.5-hour conversation where Srila Prabhupada is not talking about Krishna the way we understand, the way Prabhupada presents Krishna in his Bhagavatam classes. Here Prabhupada is talking to him about so many wonderful aspects of life. And at one point, and this British lord is, I think, 90 plus, he's 93 or 94 years old, very old. And he's talking in a very gracious. So Srila Prabhupada tells him, "So you grew up in Calcutta?" "Oh, I also grew up in Calcutta." Which lane?" So they're talking about the lanes of Calcutta, where you get pani puri, where you eat what, and all the lifestyle of Calcutta they're discussing for a long time. I think good half an hour is all about Calcutta there. And then during the middle of the conversation, that man, that lord says, "Oh, Your Highness Swami, I'm so happy to meet you. I'm a fool, I don't know much, I'm learning." So Prabhupada tells him, no, this is very nice mood, this is what Lord Chaitanya taught us, Trinadapi Suni Chena. Srila Prabhupada is able to see Trinadapi Suni Chena in a British lord who has no idea about Krishna. So when I saw that, I could see that this ability was because Prabhupada could do this because Srila Prabhupada was always connected to Krishna. So when we are shelter of Krishna through his sound, through the sound vibration, through Bhagavatam, through the holy names, then we will be able to appreciate. Like I know one devotee who said that Prabhupada's books helped him. He was saying that how one day, you know, he had a culture of coming to temple regularly, hearing Bhagavatam classes, studying Prabhupada books. And one day his father got a brain hemorrhage and he was operated and he was in so much anxiety. This devotee was in so much anxiety. And suddenly, because of this culture and practice, he got mercy. He felt a sense of security and peace just remembering Prabhupada's statements from purports. Just connection. He heard that, you know, that's called as the voice of conscience. Like, you know, you read Journey Home, you read His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj writes how he heard a voice which said, go to India. And he said, this was a voice, this is not the mind, this rant. So, and His Holiness Achyutananda Maharaj explains this, that we all can hear Krishna's voice in our heart. He says, we just need to read scriptures slowly, and wherever anything, you know, resonates with us, we need to pause and reflect. And then allow that sound to bathe us, bathe our consciousness. And we need to harmonize. And therefore, this is the way we will make progress. Otherwise, Krishna will remain unknown to us. As Kunti Maharani says, what is that? Maya javanika channam agyadokshajam avyayam na lakshase mudadrusha nato natya dharo yata. Krishna, you are such an expert actor. Nobody can recognize you. The curtain of Maya is completely bewildered, and this curtain of Maya can bewilder even you and me. When an actor, like, you know, this drama festival, there was a beautiful drama on Govardhan Mountain. Such an amazing drama. And there was this devotee who played a British officer. And he is, you know, that's I think almost 10 minutes was that beautiful scene, first scene of a British officer. And I just could not recognize who he was. And just 3 days back, I came to know who that actor was. Manu Prabhu from Meera Road. I know him very well. I have spent so much time with him and his children. But on that day and till last 3 days ago, I did not know it was Manu Prabhu. Such an expert actor. He disguised himself so well. So imagine what must be Krishna's expertise. When Kunti Devi says, Nato Natya Dharo Yata. Therefore we need to recognize this aspect of Krishna. That, you know, if you really want to connect to Krishna, we need to see that, you know, like this chapter talks about Krishna's opulences. Let us meditate on Krishna's most amazing opulence. That is not those 6 opulences. Other than these 6 opulences we know, Janma, Ishwar, what is that? Beauty, knowledge, strength, etc. Other than the 6 opulences, Krishna has this greatest opulence of acceptance, of forgiveness. If somebody has a good intention but bad action, Krishna will ignore the bad action and accept the good intention. Like Bhishma or that Uriya woman who climbed on Lord Chaitanya's shoulder. Lord accepts, Lord doesn't see the action, the intention. But the best part of Krishna is, if somebody has a bad intention but good action, like Putana for example, so Krishna will ignore the intention and take the action. Can you think of anyone like this in this world? So good intention, bad action, Krishna takes intention. Bad intention, good action, Krishna takes the action. So therefore, the point is, this is the proof that Krishna accompanies us in our sojourn, in this world. And this is the real opulence of Krishna. Not that he is simply powerful, not that he is simply, you know, strong, beautiful, attractive. See, what is the use of all the 6 opulences if somebody is not forgiving? Just imagine somebody is very strong, but he doesn't have forgiveness. Is it attractive really? In fact, it's dangerous. Somebody is strong and has no kshama, no daya in his heart. So what makes Krishna all attractive is because of this quality of acceptance. Otherwise our opulences, our strength, our beauty, our knowledge is useless. That's why Srila Prabhupada in that Kunti's teachings of Queen Kunti, he writes that if somebody is addicted to wine, liquor, we request you, when you are drinking that wine, please know that the taste of wine is Krishna. This is not a license to go and drink liquor. This is Prabhupada's all-embracing spirit. You know, we have to recognize how Prabhupada is trying to get people. Also, this is an education for us to trust devotees and encourage them to give Krishna consciousness. So, I'll stop here. If we have questions or comments, we could take some. And also, I would like to end on a note of Harinam Sankirtan. Yesterday, after hearing Gauravani Prabhu's Kirtan and Purushottam Prabhu's Kirtan, I couldn't be there for the whole time, but I was so inspired. And I was remembering Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who defined Sankirtan in a very unique way. Sankirtan generally we define as coming together and glorifying Lord. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, Sankirtan, Sang also means excellence. So like Sanskrit, Krit means literature. Sanskrit is excellent literature. Similarly, Sankirtan means that Kirtan which is performed expertly, nicely for glorifying Krishna. So as we get older in our practices of bhakti, we need to do our bhajan and kirtan and sadhana more attentively. Prabhupada writes in that pamphlet on chanting of Hare Krishna, that initially one can chant anyway, but as we get older in bhakti, we need to carefully guard against offenses to the holy name. So let us take part in Harinam Sankirtan today. Whole day we'll have kirtan. And let us absorb ourselves in chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Any one comment or one question? Because I was told to stop at 9:20. So, yes, I see Vipul Prabhu, is that? Yes.
Prabhuji, you mentioned about a very important aspect of seeing good in others and being embracing everyone. And Chanakya Pandit also said that we should accept gold even from a filthy place. But it requires intelligence to distinguish between what is gold and what is stool. And many of us don't even have that intelligence. And when we read books are supposed to nourish our intelligence and help us increase our ability to discriminate between what is right and what is wrong. Regarding the point of reading other self-help books, many times their conclusions, many of them are right, but few conclusions may be very wrong. So, isn't it very dangerous where we may feel that we are getting nourished, but actually we might be drinking milk touched with poison?
Yeah, it's true. We should be careful of reading books that talk about that don't glorify principles. There is something called as principle-centered living. If a book talks about principles, those principles are universal. But if a book is talking about some cheap techniques, it is extremely dangerous because that is very shallow. It is at the bodily level. But principle-centered living is not material. If you read 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, 8 to 12, Krishna speaks about... Now this is interesting. Prabhupada's purport there. 13th chapter is when the jnana section starts and Krishna speaks about kshetra kshetragya. He says this material world is a field of activity. Body is a field of activity and the soul is a kshetragya, the knower of the field of activity. And he says how all these actions we do is an interaction of the field of activities. It's all matter basically. But 13.8 to 12, amanitvam, adambitvam section, the verses, qualities that are needed. So there, Prabhupada writes about all these qualities, humility and tolerance, forgiveness. And then he speaks about these principles and he says, although these principles are practiced in this world, but because these principles help us to go beyond this world, they are not part of kshetra. They are actually spiritual. So if somebody is speaking about some spiritual principles, that is not a mundane self-help book. But if somebody's siddhanta is dangerous, so for that we need a guidance. Like I know one devotee, one brahmachari, who is a highly qualified doctor and whose intelligence is demanding him to, you know, like read, know more. I remember that class of Urmila Mataji where she says very clearly that if some devotees are satisfied completely reading Prabhupada's books, doing deity worship, great, we should encourage them. They are maintaining their purity. Great, we glorify them. And if somebody has an inclination to read and know, and if he is centered on principles, and if he is reading something, if something is available to him, and if he has a culture, strong culture of sadhana, then there is nothing wrong in it. So principle centered. For example, this devotee, this doctor devotee I was talking about, because he has good association, he has good friends who reflect back and who encourage him, who kind of give him a feedback, he is able to discriminate. So if we are not sharpening our sense of discrimination, then we are fools. And there are many people we have lost because, you know, many things are very attractive. And sometimes we get distracted by the path of Krishna consciousness. At the same time, I would like to believe that there are two extremes. One is the extreme of material life, and the other is pure devotional service. Now, pure devotional service, like complete, you know, offering everything to Krishna, that is one end of the spectrum. The other end of the spectrum is I, everything for me. Both, see, living for I is dangerous. And thinking that I'm offering everything to Krishna artificially chokes a devotee. He doesn't actually feel nourished in bhakti. Although externally, he may be thinking, he may be psyching himself up saying that I'm offering everything to Krishna. There is some place, space in between. And that space is the space of sincerity. Between Krishna and between selflessness and selfishness, there is a space of sincerity where, you know, like somebody is totally selfless. He loves Krishna so much that he only lives for Krishna. That is one. The other person extreme is, only I think of myself. Now when I come to new Hare Krishna, I am living in the space of I, me, mine. And then I am told, surrender everything to Krishna. So, you see the dichotomy here, you see the challenge here. So we need to go somewhere higher. And that is a space of sensitivity. We become sensitive to others' needs. Even if I am interested in my own needs, but at least I learn to become sensitive, I learn to understand what others need, I make a big, big difference. It makes a big difference to my life. Or, let us say, in Krishna consciousness, in pure devotional service, the standard is integrity. Integrity means, I have taken a vow, I will never deviate. That is integrity. Non-devotional life, the extreme is hypocrisy. Now hypocrisy, from a hypocritical life, I'm not able to jump to a life of high integrity. But there is something in between, and that is honesty. What is the difference between integrity and honesty? Integrity means you say something and you do it. Honesty means, see, integrity is you do what you say, and honesty is you say what you do. Now honesty doesn't mean shameless. You know, Prabhu, I can't do chanting, you know, I'm like this. No. Honesty means to know where you are, but not remain where you are. That's why I emphasized on how reading Srila Prabhupada's books develops our Vijnanamaya Kosha. It actually develops because it's intelligence beyond our limited intelligence and buddhi. So if you are accessing spiritual sound, that's how our intelligence and our mind gets purified. But without connection to Srila Prabhupada, without connection to sound, if somebody is reading mundane books, then how will he ever get transformed? He must glide down to animal life. So that is not the point of today's class. Today's class we are talking about coming to a space in between non-devotional life and pure devotional life. Like for example, another example is, those who are purely lovers of Krishna, they accept everyone. They love everyone. The other extreme, those who are non-devotionally leading a life, they may be very judgmental, always judging others as good and bad. But somebody who loves Krishna accepts everyone. Now, where should I be? I come somewhere in between. I want to be somewhere in between to begin with, where I may not be able to accept everyone, and at the same time, I don't want to be judging everyone. So I come to the space of understanding. Let me understand them. So the point I'm trying to say is, from integrity and hypocrisy, there is a space in between, that is a space of honesty. From love and judgment, there is a space in between, there is a space of understanding. Selflessness and selfishness, there is a space of sensitivity. So if we practice bhakti like that, with honesty, then, and also come closer to Krishna, we will feel we'll feel contented. I saw some children, you know, these children are told, be like Prahlad Maharaj, and that is Krishna here, okay? And now we have come to Hare Krishna at this level of understanding. Now the children jump, see, there is something, as they are getting older, as they are becoming teenagers, they are not able to connect to Krishna completely. So in between, we give them the principle of sacrifice. So the children, I know one girl, she is in 8th standard now, she's read these 3-4 books on the sacrifice of soldiers who have given up their lives for in motherland, you know, like they got Paramvir Chakra. She knows the whole book by memory. She knows all the stories and she makes presentations in her school. Very masterclass presentations. Now, she and many children like her, we might tell this is all Maya. Patriotism is Maya or this is, there is no Krishna in it. But if you see, there is an element of sacrifice there. You know what I'm saying? So the principle. See, there is principle-centered living. And Krishna is the highest principle. Samam Bonam. So if you are connected to Krishna, and also through that practice of our sadhana bhakti, not fear-induced bhakti, but genuinely connecting to Krishna, and then satisfying our needs in a way that doesn't distract us from Krishna, I don't think there is... it is harmful. But I'm willing to be corrected on this. At the same time, honesty is an important principle.
Prabhuji, is it safe to say that the principles should be drawn from scriptures or from Prabhupada books, and how other books or other people, when we talk to even non-devotees, how they are expanding on those principles that we can use to enhance our learning on the principles which we have drawn from Prabhupada books?
Correct. True. But you can't just, you know, juxtapose things artificially, just for the sake of it. You can't just get a letter, you know, some statement, some word, and it can't be artificial. You know, Srila Prabhupada's purports, like for example, you know, I know some devotees, many devotees who have this habit, as soon as they get up, they read first 5 minutes Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita. And then they do all their other activities. So as you said, if that foundation is there, then whatever you learn, you know, that's healthy. Otherwise, if you write journals, if you just speculate, if you do introspection, Hitler was one of the greatest journal writers. But there is no conscience there. You know what I'm saying? So connection to Krishna, scriptures, transcendental sound is the foundation of our spiritual life. Definitely. But if you see the lives of, okay, now that you said it, I'll end with this. Some of the top management gurus of 20th century. And if you carefully analyze, I kind of explored, did investigation on their lives. I did some research. And I was shocked to find that most of them, those who give solid substance or some good things, they are rooted somewhere to Vedic scriptures. Like, you know, Wayne Dyer. Wayne Dyer was a big name. He passed away recently. And he speaks many things, you know, some nonsense and this and that. And I was wondering, where does he get this realization? Is he a self-realized sage? Where did he say this? So finally I found out his guru was Swami Muktananda. And he used to read books of one very unknown, simple Maharashtrian sadhu, Nisargadatta Maharaj, who is living in some village. He would read his books. And he got a lot of substance from them. And Louis Hay, she studied under Mahesh Yogi's ashram. And Don Miguel Ruiz, who wrote 4 Agreements, he is deeply rooted into ancient Mexican Toltec tradition. His grandparents taught him, which is 3000 years old. So the point is the traditions, the wisdom of our elders of the past, it has a lot of strength. And we need to connect to our traditions, definitely. And the greatest book America has ever produced, according to, you know, It's unanimously agreed by most people. It's a book called Walden by Henry David Thoreau. And Henry David Thoreau, his mentor was Ralph Waldo Emerson. And they had made a whole community. They had a group of people. There's another doctor, Dr. Oliver Wendell Holmes. They were all in Boston, Massachusetts. So they made a group called Boston Brahmins. They called themselves as Boston Brahmins. They would read Vedanta, they would study scriptures, And they wrote such profound literature that influenced Mahatma Gandhi, Martin Luther King Jr., Leo Tolstoy, who gave credit to Thoreau, Emerson for their writings. And Thoreau, Emerson took everything from Gita and Vedanta. So if you see the principle, somewhere it comes to the wealth, the wisdom beyond our own. That is the point I'm trying to make. And Walden was written on the bank of that pond, Walden Pond. He wrote later, but he was sitting there. And he would connect, he would see that pond and he would remember Ganga. And he became a great devotee of Mother Ganga. He started doing yoga every day. And he started liking India. He started eating curd rice every day because he said this is the diet of India. And then, while dying, he died at a young age, 45. He started practicing strict celibacy, brahmacharya. And then when he was dying, his friends asked him, you know, have you made peace with God? He said, I never quarreled with God. And he said, now it's time for good sailing. And the last words he spoke just before leaving his body was, India. He wanted to come to India, maybe. And Emerson, he presented his teachings in such a way that he was called to Harvard for an alumnus meeting, where he kind of shocked the audience by talking about seeing Jesus and God even in nature. And the whole Harvard Divinity School pounced upon him as a pantheist, as a you know, kafir, you know what they say, as a heresy. And he was criticized so badly, but he said, I have to stand true to my convictions. And he disappointed his own aunt, who had actually raised him from childhood, and she was a devout Christian. And he also felt pain that he is hurting her. But the teachings of Vedanta profoundly influenced him, so much so that he was booed and criticized in front of thousands of people, but he stood strong to his convictions. So there are many examples like this, that those who speak principles, those who have principle-centered approach in life, they are somewhere connected to traditions of the past. They are connected to wisdom and intelligence beyond their own. That is the point I am trying to make. So if somebody is connected to Prabhupada's book, somebody is grounded in Vaishnava Seva Association, and if somebody has an inclination to sing, dance, write, play, how can we stop them? Isn't it fear-induced bhakti? Why not encourage them and also be connected to Krishna? Won't we have greater impact? Won't we have more devotees coming to Krishna? That question we need to ask ourselves honestly. There is no compulsion in this answer, but we need to explore this individually and be true and authentic to our own selves. Is that okay, Prabhu? We'll stop here. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Hare Krishna, we have few announcements. Today's breakfast prasadam is sponsored by Preeti Sundari Mataji, seeking blessings from all the devotees for the spiritual well-being of her and her family. Let us express our best wishes, gratitude and prayers by loudly chanting three times. Hari Bol.